Good morning, everyone. Once again, we are here to look at our series in the book of Hebrews. We are now in chapter 11 from verse 32 to 12 and verse 3. I'm reading from the ESV, and I'll read also a part of 12 in NIV. And what more shall I say in verse 32? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. Verse 37, they were stoned and were sawn in two. They were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, and mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. And since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Then in chapter 12, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In the NIV chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and sin, and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat at the right hand, of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Shall we pray? Our Father God, we are grateful again to you this morning. Our prayer is that you open your scriptures for us, that we will learn from it and run this race to your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah, my name is Pastor Benson Ochirimenu, one of the leaders in Grace Generation Church. And we continue with our series, and today in Hebrews, and today my topic is faith to run the Christian race. And I'm looking at summarizing chapter 11 and taking three verses in chapter 12. After introduction, I have 3 points. My first point is consider the great crowd of witnesses. Second point is consider how you run. And third point is consider fixing your eyes on Jesus. And then I will conclude for us. Now, when I preached in chapter 7, about three weeks ago, with the topic Jesus, the guarantor of a better hope, we saw the incredible work that Jesus has done to secure our salvation, to a point that sometimes even we as Christians, we find it difficult to accept that our salvation is secure and complete and that we will not lost, we will not get lost. And we, because what we saw in that portion of scripture is that Jesus has guaranteed a better covenant and a new covenant for us. And he is in the business of saving to the utmost or completely anyone who comes to him in this new covenant relationship. And then he is at the right hand side of God and continue to make intercession. He lives to make intercession for our security in this new covenant. This is an amazing situation that we find ourselves in. And because of that, sometimes we forget that when we get saved, we are not taken to heaven, but we stay here, number one, to worship the living God and also to serve humanity, so that through them, we will draw many to God himself. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, in the New Living Translation says, "But you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." That's what we are doing. And in that process, the book of Hebrews calls us, we are drawing near to God through faith. And of course, in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, says, "It's by grace we have been saved through faith, and it's not anything, it's a gift of God. It's not anything that we have done." And then he continues in verse 10 to say, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And so as we walk through this, the face of this earth, we are to worship God, we are to do good works and draw people through it to God himself. In chapter 10, as Pastor Musala shared with us about 2 weeks ago, verse 19 says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and a living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith." This simply means that it is through faith that we are able to walk through this earth and draw near to God and do the work that God has done for us. For he says in chapter 11, verse 6, "For without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever draws near to God must believe God exists and that he rewards those who seek him." And now in the whole of chapter 11, as I summarize for you, he begins to mention men and women who through faith were able to draw near to God and do the work of God. He mentions Abel in verse 4. "By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. Enoch, by faith, was taken up so that he did not see death. He was commended as one who pleased God. Noah, when he was warned about the things not yet seen, in godly fear, built an ark and to save his own family. Abraham, by faith, when God called him to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went without knowing where he was going. And even when he was tested, he was able to offer Isaac on the altar as well. Sarah, even though he was barren beyond the proper age, he was enabled to conceive a child because she considered him faithful who had promised. Isaac, by faith, blessed Jacob and Esau concerning the future. Jacob, by faith, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and worshipped as he leaned on the top of his staff. Joseph, by faith, when he was near the end of his life, spoke about the exodus of the Israelites and gave instructions about his bones. The parents of Moses, by faith, hid Moses for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was not an ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Moses himself, by faith, when he was grown, refused to be called Pharaoh's daughter's son, and he chose to suffer oppression with the people of God rather than experience the fleeting enjoyment of sin. And when he left Egypt by faith, he was not afraid of the anger of the king, but he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Then he even talked about the people of Israel as a whole. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. And by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people of God marched around it 7 times. By faith, Rahab, who was considered a prostitute, became, because he welcomed the spies in peace, he did not perish with those who were disobedient. And he went on to mention people like Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. All of them passed through. They became heroes of faith as an example for us. And so, as we are in chapter 12 now, he is now saying it's our turn to also become heroes of faith. It's our turn to walk through and draw near to God in faith. And so, as I consider this, he is painting a picture of us as Christians running a race in an arena. And there are 3 groups of people. Those who are surrounding, and that's where he uses the word, as we are surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. So those who are surrounding, or who are the people witnessing what is going on, and then those who are running, us who are running, and then at the end of the finishing line, there is Jesus who stands there to reward those. And so, let me look at my first point. Consider the great cloud of witnesses. Chapter 12 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Now, this witnesses he's talking about, cloud of witnesses, are the very many numerous people he mentioned in chapter 11 who through faith have made it. They are now in the arena as we run this Christian race, shouting and cheering us up. They are a multitude of men and women who have been through what we've been through. You know, when we read about the things they did as heroes, if we end there, we may think they were not human beings. But the Bible, even in chapter 11, verse 34, says, They were made strong out of weakness. They were weaker people like us. And probably you are sitting here, you don't want to give your life to Jesus because you have a problem that you think that cannot make you a better Christian. Or maybe you are a Christian, there is a besetting sin, something that you try your best and it's not going and you think, no, I'm giving up. Don't give up, I have got news for you. And that's why we have this cloud of witnesses who are cheering us on, saying, don't worry, you will make it because we made it. If you look at somebody like Noah, he will tell you, oh, I'm sorry, I became drunk after the flood and exposed my nakedness to my sons, and I even cursed them. But after he surrendered his weakness to God, he is now a hero. So no matter what problem you are facing, whether it's drunkenness or whatever, God is able. You just have to surrender them. Abraham also, the Bible tells us that God promised him a son. At one point, there was a bit of doubt to a point that he followed Sarah and got one of the maid and had children with them when God had promised. Even at one time, he lied, saying, no, it's not my wife, it's my sister. That's the life. Even Sarah, at one point when the angels came and they told him, you are going to have a son, he laughed. That was not believing. That's unbelief came in her life. Isaac followed his father's footsteps and told that his wife was a sister as well. Jacob, we all know, he was jealous of his brother and deceived his father to get the blessing. And he became a deceiver, we know. Moses made that somebody in Egypt. And even at one time when God gave instructions, he disobeyed God. Rahab was a prostitute. Samson, as we all saw, had issues with women. Gideon was a weak somebody. When God called him for the fear of the Midianites, he was hiding in the wine press. Jephthah rushed into making vows and ending up sacrificing his daughter. David committed adultery and in the process even killed an innocent man, a royal man. And so you can see all these men we are talking about, brothers and sisters, were men like us who falter here and there like we do. And so what they are doing is, as we are running this race, they are cheering us up. If you haven't come to know Jesus as yet, he says you too can come and run the race with that. You can make it. And so this morning, what I'm saying here is we need to learn from this man, because God loves each one of us. Let's not give up and let's learn from them, because we will be able to make it. Then the second point is we need to consider how we run. As we are in this race with all this multitudes around us through the word of God, cheering us and speaking to us, we need to know how we run. Verse 1 of chapter 12 says, let us lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, from the ESV. The NIV says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. The Living Translation says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, and especially the sin that so easily trips us up. It becomes a trap and trips you out. Another version says we need to lay aside encumbrance, the sin which so easily entangles. And so we have two things. We have weights, or we have things that hinder, or we have encumbrance, that is burdens. We have hindrances. We have things that become a snag or hurdle. Anything that comes our way as we run this race to stop us from focusing on God and worshiping God and serving God in a proper way becomes a weight. It could be something that we have in our family. As for our family, we do this, we don't do that. And it becomes something that restricts us. It's not sin as such. Weights and encumbrances are not sin. It's not something that we can say is sin. For example, it could be a sport that we are interested in. And if you are not careful, this sport can become a burden, a snag, a barrier to you worshiping God. So anything that becomes a barrier in our lives, it could be a friend you have. And where the friend slowly is leading you, is keeping you away from God. These are weights. And so we need to slowly lay them off, that we can run this race that God has called us into. Brothers and sisters, he says we need to lay them aside. It could be sin that we know. All of us. There's something that you know God is not happy with it. We need to come near to God. As we draw near to God and he exposes us in his light, and we cry out to him, and we take this thing out and say, Lord, help me. He's able to help us so that we lay all these things aside. So that is the first thing we need to, as we are running, we need to lay off everything that comes our way. I remember when I was a child, when I became a Christian, I read a book called Mr. Me Runs a Race. This man saw people running, and he says, now I'm part of it. I am a Christian. I'm running this race with a jacket, with a hat, with a tie, and everything. And it becomes difficult. All these things are weight. And so somebody asked advice and said, no, you can't run. You have to throw off everything. Throw the jacket off. until he came to a point where he was wearing something that is lighter. That's how we have to travel. That's how we can run. We lay off weights and sins. And then he says, and let us run with endurance, or let us run with perseverance. People of God, we need to run with perseverance. We need to determine. The enemy is not happy that we have become children of God and we are moving with God. He will bring things our way. But let's not give up. We need to be watchful. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8 says, be sober minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kind of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world. So by faith, that is what the Hebrews is recommending us. Let's learn from those who have gone before us. Let's have that faith and say, no, we are moving and we will stand. We will resist. We will not allow the enemy to bring hindrances in our way. But the third point, the way we should run is we should run the race that is set before us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. And this is something that I want to draw our attention to. We are not all in the same race. Yes, it's a race, but we've got different field tracks that we are doing. I might be running a 50 meter because I run so fast, so I get tired so quickly. That's what is set before me. Some may be doing 100 meters, some 200 meters. Some are going a marathon. Some are going 1,500 meters. It's different. It's different. And even if we are running the same race, we are in different tracks. And sometimes as people of God, we don't think that way. And instead of knowing that this is what God has given me to run, this is the race I'm running, we're looking into other people. So he says, run the race that is set before you. That race is what we need to do. Some have got a shorter. Maybe their race will take them only 25 years and gone to be with the Lord. Jesus Christ, it took 33 years. He had finished what God called him to do here and he left. So we are not in the same. God is giving us different races, different tracks to do. A very good example is when David comes before Saul, and here is Goliath defiling the armies of God. Saul says, I will give you my armor. And I like what David did. David realized, no, that's not my race. No, I'm not used to this. No, I can't use this. What I know is my sling. And he used it and was successful. People of God, we need to run our race. We need to know the giftings God has given us. Let's not force ourselves to be in where we are not supposed to do. Let us enjoy what God has given us so that we can serve him in a better way. And then my third and final point is that we need to consider fixing our eyes on Jesus. Jesus, if we fix our eyes on him, he is at the end there waiting for us. He is watching over us. He is able to guide us. He is like our coach. You know, the Bible tells us, the passage, he says, he is the author. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. There are so many things that can make us lose heart. But if we look to Jesus, if we talk of faith, he is the founder of the faith. He is the beginner of faith. He perfects our faith. If we look to him and we will not look to other things around us, he is able to guide like a coach saying, no, he will be able to say, no, here you have to slow down. Here, you have to do this or that. Through his word, he is able to guide us. And so, let us know that he is the greatest hero of faith. Others are there cheering us up, but we need to focus on Jesus. He is the one who saves us. He is the one who is able to help us. Because he has been there before. The Bible says he fixed his eyes on the joy that was set before him. God told him, when you finish, once you have been through this, there's joy before for you. And he looked to God and went to the cross. Because of that, the shame, the pain, and everything, he was able to overtake. If we look to Jesus, he's able to help us. So that in the end, we will receive the blessings. We will receive the reward. Philippians 2 tells us about what Jesus says. Have this mind among you, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he made himself nothing, taking the form of the servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in a human form, he humbled himself, and by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. That's it. He was looking, and so at the name of Jesus, God has exalted him and bestowed on him a name that is above every other name. So that at the mention of the name of Jesus, every knee bows and every tongue confess Jesus is Lord. Brothers and sisters, in this life, in running this race, we need Jesus. So I'm concluding by saying, we need to take encouragement from those who have gone before us. They were men like us, but they made it. They recognized their weakness and brought them before God, and God made them strong. We need to recognize our weaknesses. If you are sitting here and you don't know Jesus, you are not yet in the race. Just come to Jesus. He's able to give you the strength. He's able to help you also join us and run this race. He needs you. Don't fix yourself before you come to God. Come just as you are and say, Lord, I am sorry about what I've done in life. I need you. And he's able to help you. As children of God, we are in the race together. Let's draw to God in faith and know that Jesus is able to strengthen us. And let's lay aside anything that comes the way. All the hindrances. Let's deal with sin. In fact, the sin that the Bible talks about is that of unbelief. Let's deal with unbelief. Sometimes we begin to distrust God because of the things going on around us. But let's look to God and he is able to help us. We thank you very much. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that you've given us. And we pray that you will help us draw near to you. Father, strengthen us. That, Lord, we will know you've been there before. And that we are able to run this race and come to you and do well. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.